It's a couple minutes after 9 o'clock at 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine, where for this next hour program, the opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Good morning, it's Talking Animals. We got dogs and dog songs.
In Del Mar, California, there's a beach where the dogs are free to run without a leash. I see them racing across the sand. They're swimming in the sea. They're playing with their balls. Oh, there ain't a better place to be to do the dog beach boogie. It's the dog beach boogie. It's a dance. I'm sure your dog is sure to know. First he crouches on down, jumps back up, spins around and sniffs the butt. He does a dog beach boogie until his owner says it's time to go. The dogs, they have more fun than me or you, because people stand around without a clue about how to make a friend by sniffing their rear end. Spin around and around and then sniffing it again. They're doing the dog beach boogie. It's the dog beach boogie. It's this, I'm sure your dog is sure to know. First he crouches on down, jumps back up, spins around and sniffs a butt. He does dog beach boogie until his owner says it's time to go. Well, bring your dog on down, but please prepare with plenty of plastic bags to show you care, because it's such a drag to find what your dog has left behind by stepping in the wrong place at exactly the wrong time. You'll do the dog beach boogie. It's the dog beach boogie. It's a dance, I'm sure your dog is sure to know. First you crouch on down, jump back up, spin around and sniff a butt. He does a dog beach boogie until his owner says it's time to go. It's time to go.
All right, that's, I think, as it might be clear by then, it's the Dog Beach Boogie. That's Kirk Olson. A nod to the fact today that we've got dogs in the studio, which we'll find out more about and meet momentarily. Meanwhile, this is Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine, streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. And the whole enterprise is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us by phone directly at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, and I absolutely urge you to use that number and call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy. Telling you, we love to get calls here at Talking Animals. You can also instant message us via AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name, not surprising perhaps, is Talking Animals. Other ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com. And, of course, by way of our website, talkinganimals.net. Make no mistake, it's .net, folks. Also, before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another rock and rip snorting rendition of the Serena Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources, but we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. We aim for a spirited balance of these elements, as you can readily glean by visiting our website, talkinganimals.net, where just about every show we've ever broadcast is archived. So from visiting the website, listening in the past, or if you're just inclined to take my word for it, you'll know that the heart of the program is the interview we conduct each week with some notable inhabitant or some province of the animal world. Today, our in-studio guests are both of the human and canine persuasion. By that, I mean we have Hershey and Trace, federally certified mold detection dogs, and Orange County residents to boot, and specially trained to detect mold in homes and offices that otherwise undetected could endanger the health of those who live or work in those buildings. And significantly, at least to me, they're also rescue dogs, which brings us to their human co-workers who are also joining us in studio today, Celeste and Jack Clausen. You can say a quick hello to Celeste and Jack. There's one microphone there that you guys can share that one, and we'll fix the other one before we get to talking. But welcome to Talking Animals. And so anyway, we're going to have lots to talk about, and we're even going to have a little on-air demonstration of their mold detecting, that is Hershey and Trace's mold detecting skills and talents in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And we'll do a little running commentary. I understand the visual might be a little lost in the radio translation, but we'll have a running commentary. But I can already tell you, these are incredibly good-looking dogs. I mean, to have talents and be this good-looking seems almost too much. We've got a beautiful chocolate lab and a beautiful black lab. But anyways, we'll meet them and find out more about them momentarily here on Talking Animals. Meanwhile, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news. I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, news items that we might have not have spotted, any animal topic you care to discuss, a benefit fundraiser you have maybe or working on that's animal-related, organization, shelter, etc. Any observation of the animal world, all that be most welcome. 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. So, turning now to interesting and or important developments recently in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight. And with any luck to get your comments on and discuss. We also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. So that's right, Hershey, talk turkey, as it were. All right, produced as always by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. Let's jump in. I don't see how we can start with anything other than the caiman story. Could we? Should we? So, the most recent version, at least that I happen to snag, is from the LA Times today. Like the best creature tale that starts, this one begins with something lurking in a lake. The story has been unfolding in Harbor City, just north of San Pedro, where people have packed into Ken Malloy Harbor Regional Park for 3 days. They scan the water for a glimpse of what authorities believe is a spectacled caiman, a crocodile cousin from Central and South America. The reptile, which has a jaw like a steel trap, has been playing hide-and-seek in Machado Lake with its hunters, who are armed with just a few nets and a raw chicken. A park gardener first spotted something about 2 p.m. on Friday, darting across the nearly 50-acre lake on the park's western end. Chief Ranger Albert Torres rushed to the shoreline. Quote, it was like a film where you see eyes on the waterline and a back coming out of the water. Just briefly, he said Sunday. Park visitors began telling rangers they had seen it too. Quote, one fellow said he was fishing and it came up on shore. He said he cast the line out and hooked it, said Kevin Regan, assistant general manager for the Los Angeles Department of Parks and Recreation. Someone said kids were throwing tortillas at it, flour tortillas. Officials estimate the scaly green creature is 6 to 8 feet long and weighs nearly 200 pounds. They'll swallow anything, this is another quote, and if they can't swallow it, they'll tear pieces until they can eat it, said Jaron Lucas, who runs research and workshops for the Southwestern Herpetologist Society, which park rangers asked to help with the hunt. Lucas thinks the caiman was probably dumped by a pet owner who no longer wanted it. And the story goes on from there, including people throwing bread, French bread and jelly donuts at it, etc., but let's hope for a safe capture, because clearly they're going to capture it, and I guess their hope is to temporarily take it to the L.A. Zoo and then figure out from there what to do with it. And on sort of a related note, speaking of monsters that lurk in lakes or bodies of water, thought I'd briefly touch on this obituary, unfortunately, but still, this is a Dan Scott Taylor Jr., who dreamed of finding the elusive Loch Ness Monster and build his own submarines for the search, has died. He was 65. Taylor died July 23rd in a Savannah, Georgia hospital of complications after surgery to correct an aortic aneurysm. He lived in Bluffton, South Carolina. Taylor had recently been working on Nessa, a 44-foot submarine designed for his second excursion to Loch Ness, the 700-foot-deep, glacially carved Scottish lake purported to be the home of a giant serpent. Despite numerous scientific studies debunking the tale, Taylor firmly believed that the monster, or monsters, was there. For one thing, he thought one of them said hello to him in 1969. Intrigued with the legendary Loch Ness Monster since childhood, Taylor talked his way into assisting University of Chicago biologist Roy P. Mackel on a hunt of the lake sponsored by the World Book Encyclopedia. Taylor volunteered his Viperfish, a 20-foot fiberglass submarine he had built in his spare time. And it goes on from there, but it seemed like there was something else I saw here that I thought I would share. Well, that's probably it for now, but basically, the big delay between his first submarine and the one he was working on was he just didn't have time until he retired, and then he worked night and day on this thing and was getting ready to, I guess, launch it for his next search for Nessie. So, anyway, a fairly cool, eccentric inventor, Dan Taylor Jr. And then locally, really important, I think, to call attention to this because we've talked about sort of various chapters of this saga previously. The animal shelter and hospital mired in controversy will soon be torn down and rebuilt. The AAA Animal Hospital and the Orange County Humane Society plan to demolish their existing space in Huntington Beach and to build a new modern hospital to treat and care for pets. Dr. Samir Botros, who owns and operates the hospital, also plans to demolish and rebuild an animal kennel used to house stray cats and dogs. The shelter has a contract with the city of Costa Mesa to care for stray animals. Quote, they're making pretty substantial improvements, Huntington Beach planner Rami Tale said. It's going to be in a completely different facility. The hospital, located in the shadow of the AES power plant on Newland Street near Pacific Coast Highway, came under fire in recent months after volunteers complained that animals at the shelter were being mistreated and that the hospital was being mismanaged. Botra said the remodel had nothing to do with the protest. Quote, we've been planning this for a long time, long before any of this happened, he said. Former volunteers have been butting heads with Botros since August 2004, when he dismissed most of them because he believed they were interfering with management. Some volunteers had already quit over differences with shelter staff members. Other volunteers supportive of Botros remained at the shelter. Botros has denied all the allegations. Goes on from there, but either way, whatever you believe happened previously, the fact this baby's going to be fully raised and rebuilt into a really great and clean and nice facility is good news for our animal friends. Okay, so it's time for a little quiz question, animal news quiz question, and then we may skip the rest of the stuff so we can get right into dogs. Okay, I mean, we're here for dogs, let's get to the dogs. So here's our quiz question. It's a true false question. If you're the first person to call in with the correct answer, you have your choice of various prizes, including talking animals t-shirts, sweatshirts or mugs, CDs from either previous guests, or there's a collection put out by PETA with about 10 or 12 different bands. We've got t-shirts from other animal organizations. We've got books from either past guests or hopeful forthcoming guests, including Shirley MacLaine, who's not yet been a guest, but she might be. And again, part of the reason her book is a prize for this is it was co-written by her dog, who again has a very nice literary style. So, anyways, we have other prizes, but the point is, if you're the first person to call in with the correct answer now, you'll have your choice of those, and same goes later on when we play Name That Animal Tune. So, here we go. And again, I thought let's pick a dog-related question for our quiz today, because we've got dogs in the house. All right, true or false, greyhounds have the best eyesight of any breed of dog. True or false, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. And, let's dump the rest of the news for now. We can always come back to it later if we have time. But, again, I think we know why we're here. So, if there are ever any news stories or announcements of events you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us those items at talkinganimals@AOL.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us with any comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, animal comedy bits, any other animal topic that's on your mind. The email again is talkinganimals@AOL.com. And I'm pleased to remind you, one more time, at least for now, about the Talking Animals website. We hope you'll check out the site. It's talkinganimals.net, again, .net, and sign up for the email list so we can keep you posted on upcoming guests and other announcements. You'll also find archives and synopses of all the shows, just about, through the last two or three weeks, probably. Sorted photographs, articles both that we've written and have been written about us, and all kinds of links, other audio pieces, and more. So please stop by and take a look around the site. Again, it's talkinganimals.net. It's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. They're probably the only thing not dog-related on today's show, but it is a vintage piece of comedy. This is Woody Allen with a piece called The Moose on today's Comedy Corner here on KUCI.
I shot a moose once. I was hunting upstate New York, and I shot a moose, and I strap him onto the fender of my car, and I'm driving home along the West Side Highway. But what I didn't realize was that the bullet did not penetrate the moose. It just creased his scalp, knocking him unconscious. And I'm driving through the Holland Tunnel, and the moose woke up. So I'm driving with a live moose on my fender, and the moose is signaling for a turn, you know? And there's a law in New York State against driving with a conscious moose on your fender Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And I'm very panicky, and then it hits me. Some friends of mine are having a costume party. I'll go. I'll take the moose. I'll ditch him at the party. It wouldn't be my responsibility. So I drive up to the party, and I knock on the door. The moose is next to me. My host comes to the door. I say, hello. You know the Solomons. We enter. The moose mingles. Did very well. Scored. Some guy was trying to sell him insurance for an hour and a half. 12 o'clock comes. They give out prizes for the best costume of the night. First prize goes to the Berkowitzes, a married couple dressed as a moose. The moose comes in second. The moose is furious. He and the Berkowitzes lock antlers in the living room. They knock each other unconscious. Now I figure here's my chance. I grab the moose, strap him to my fender, and shoot back to the woods. But I got the Berkowitzes. So I'm driving along with two Jewish people on my fender. There's a law in New York State. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and especially Saturdays. The following morning, the Berkowitzes wake up in the woods in a moose suit. Mr. Berkowitz is shot, stuffed, and mounted at the New York Athletic Club. And the joke is on them because it's restricted.
Okay, that was Woody Allen with The Moose. All right, Woody Allen. We can't get him to stop, but why would we, really? Except we just don't have time for more Woody, but we will another time. So that was, again, Woody Allen in the Comedy Corner with a piece called The Moose, of course. And the Comedy Corner is one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you're indeed listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the internet at KUCI.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening that very way. And some of you, a subset, I guess, perhaps arrived through our swell website, talkinganimals.net. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Okay, earlier in the show I mentioned that our in-studio guests today are Hershey and Trace, federally certified mold detection dogs, Orange County residents to boot, and again, specially trained to detect mold in homes and offices that otherwise undetected could endanger the health of those who live there, work there, etc., in those buildings. And again, as I mentioned before, they're both rescue dogs. We'll find out more about that as well, but that kind of makes it, to me, all the cooler. And which brings us to their, again, their human colleagues, who also, of course, are in studio with us today. It's Celeste and Jack Clausen. and we want to talk about canine mold inspections, and that's, of course, what they do for a living. And we're actually going to have an inspection right here in the KUCI station grounds in a moment. But first, let's welcome Hershey, Trace, Jack, and Celeste to Talking Owl Animals. Thanks so much for joining us, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Duncan.
And let's see, I guess one place to start is when, you know, when or how did mold become, it seems like in my, you know, awareness in the last probably, what, 10 or 15 years, maybe longer, that's become like a huge concern. And it just seems like, I don't know if it's El Nino, a bunch of things, but all of a sudden it seems like mold is a huge issue. I mean, not all of a sudden now, but I mean, it just seemed like prior to that, I don't remember hearing or reading or having concerns about mold, but maybe I just wasn't tuned in enough.
Yeah, you never really heard a lot about it years ago. One of the things that's kind of brought it to the table and brought it to our attention is that over the past 20 years, with regulations in California about making our homes a lot more energy efficient, you know, new double-paned windows, better insulation, this kind of thing, once we get a water intrusion into our house, may it be a leaky faucet, a drain pipe, water coming through the walls, this kind of thing, it doesn't dry out like it used to, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago. We're a lot more airtight than we were then. We have a habit of running our air conditioning an awful lot, keeping our doors and windows closed. So mold is one of these things that it takes a little while to get going. And if it doesn't, if the building materials don't dry out fast enough, that's what's going to start the mold.
I see. Okay, so it's a product of a few things, including the difference in materials or how houses and buildings, office buildings are built, coupled with other factors, including...
Absolutely.
Okay. So how did this form then, I guess overlapping or at least subsequent to that, how did this form of canine inspection of mold come about?
Well, there's a gentleman back in Florida. His name's Bill Wittstein. It's Florida Canine Academy. And Bill is he is a master trainer of dogs. He originally got going in dog training as he was an arson inspector with a dog back in Florida. And that kind of catapulted him into training dogs. And he does bomb dogs, drug dogs, arson dogs, all these kinds of things.
Wow.
He started termite dogs many years ago.
Really?
He had to smell out for termites.
Wow.
And then he started mold dogs. And he actually got together with some professors and doctors at Auburn University, and they came up with basically a formula that said, here's the best way to train mold dogs. And a lot of research and a lot of money went into it on his part and the doctors' parts. And came up with a process in order to get the dogs to be able to smell out the types of molds that cause us problems inside our homes or office buildings and that kind of thing. You know, people need to understand these dogs aren't alerting to molds that naturally grow inside, you know, outside in our gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of thing.
So they're very specific kinds that they've been trained to detect and respond to versus, hey, that's run-of-the-mill mold, I'm not even going to alert, I guess is the term. But, wow, so it's cool. So it sounded like this guy had been, for some time, maybe for his lifetime, working with dogs that could detect various things. So somewhere along, either he got the idea or somebody said, hey, why not dogs that could detect mold? And then I guess he kind of developed that with those...
I believe it was the insurance industry that approached him.
Oh, really?
It could very well be, yes.
And just said, hey, you've done all this. I mean, the termite thing, I guess I didn't realize. I think I'd been aware of most of the other forms of but that's really interesting. Wow. Okay, well, that's really cool. And am I right in thinking that, on the other hand, some form of this has been done in Europe for some time prior to his or to the introduction really, of this in the U.S.? And was that part of his development process, or were they just sort of separate but...
As far as I know, they went about this a little bit differently and came up with their own process, too.
But is it the same sort of process overall, or at least the same results or accuracy, or is there no way to really kind of assess the...
I don't know about the accuracy part of it, but I do know that they did do an awful lot of research on their own before they actually started training, you know, mold dogs.
Wow. Cool. And so, okay, so I guess the key question then is back to the U.S. version, including our friends here in the studio with us. I mean, how are they trained? I mean, it's got to be, I'm sure, pretty pretty extensive program.
Absolutely. Each one of the dogs goes through a minimum of 1,000 hours of training.
Wow.
So that's a lot of time that they spend with the trainers. I've been back to the academy a couple of times, once each for each one of the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty intense program.
Yeah.
And they're worked and they're worked and they're worked, and it's a neat program.
And how much of that 1,000 hours, I mean, that seems like a staggering number of hours, how much of that is specific to mold detection? How much of it is to other either training or you know, I don't know if obedience is the right word here, but I mean, how much of it is, other things that aren't necessarily directly focused on mold, or is it all, in a sense, focused on
mold? It's all focused on mold.
Really?
There really is no obedience as far as, you know, sit, stay,
mm-hmm.
come, that kind of thing.
Right.
It doesn't have anything to do with the mold part of it.
Okay. Yeah. But are they trained otherwise, you know, in other words, how are they, as part of learning to detect mold, are there other things that would be the equivalent of, because you're saying not sit, stay, whatever, but they have to know when and how to go check that building or alert to that building, and that's just part of the mold training. But is there just, is it inherent in that then they're disciplined and they're not going to sort of, you know, some other smell comes along and they, you know, jump out the door because they're so attuned to mold that the discipline is almost built into learning to detect mold? Or
well, these dogs are trained in exactly the same fashion as a bomb dog or mm-hmm. a drug dog or an arson
okay.
dog, and
yeah.
they're handled very, very similar mm-hmm. to the same ways.
Yeah.
There are a few differences in what their reward is when they find something.
Mm.
Okay, these dogs, their reward is food.
Sure.
This is how these dogs get fed.
Mm-hmm.
They find mold to get fed,
mm-hmm.
right? And with a bomb dog or a drug dog, sometimes it's they get a little ball to play with for 30 seconds or something like that. Or
in lieu of food?
In lieu of food.
Oh, really?
Absolutely, right. There's an actual name for it, but it's a ball or it's a little toy to
right.
play with. Then they take it back away and they go on to their next, you know, thing, maybe whatever it is.
But are there certain jobs, so to speak, that the dogs have that then dictate what kind of reward they would have? Because it sounds like mold dogs just work for food, but you're suggesting, it sounds like to me, that bomb dogs, for example, don't work for food per se.
Exactly. No, they don't. Now, it's not to say that one trainer might not train a bomb dog to do this way and another one might not train it to
right.
do that way. But, again, I'm not a dog trainer,
sure.
just a handler now.
Yeah.
But there is different techniques, obviously, by different trainers, and some are probably better than others.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
It's the same way in the obedience world. We brought in an obedience trainer for the dogs after we got Trace back home.
Okay. So that's what I was wondering. Is that it's separate from
absolutely.
The training that happens in Florida? I guess this all takes place in Florida. But so then there was obedience, but that is a separate part of the 1,000. That's on top of the 1,000.
Absolutely.
Hours. Wow. Okay. Well, these guys are highly trained. Yeah, I wish I were even partly that well trained. So then, obviously, part of that too sounds like is you go somewhere along the line of that 1,000 hours and are introduced and sort of matched up with the dog, so that some of that training is how
absolutely.
You and Hirsch, let's say Hirschy, you know, work together.
Right. Yeah. In fact, when I went back originally, Hirschy was our first dog, and Hirschy again was a rescued dog from a shelter back in Florida. That's where he gets his termite dogs. That's where he gets his mold dogs.
Wow.
And I went back for, it was 8 or 9 days. It was a minimum of about 60 hours of training with the dogs to get certified with the dogs as a handler. And it's not to say that just because I'm going to go back there and train with this dog, I'm going to be able to walk out of the building with a dog, even though I'm paying for him. He's pretty picky. Bill Wittstein is very picky about who he lets walk out of there with one of his dogs.
Hmm.
And he would just as soon lose the money than to send him out of there with somebody that's not qualified to be a good dog handler.
Wow. So it sounds like, again, it's not just the training that the handler is undergoing, but also sounds like Bill and maybe whoever else, but Bill in particular, is saying, can I let Jack take Trace, let's say, or whatever,
right.
I mean, feel comfortable with that. It sounds
absolutely.
Like that's as much like, hey, yeah, okay, he understands the training, but is that relationship working? Does he really get the dog? Is that
right.
kind of those, more of the subjective part, I guess? Of
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that just from my experience of going back there a couple of years ago, there was one couple that washed out, so it doesn't necessarily...
And you know, I mean, was it noticeable along the way that they kind of weren't cutting it, so to speak? Or,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And just they weren't doing the right stuff with the dogs or weren't processing
right.
information. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. And I guess that's the thing. I mean, you probably have to err, or this guy has to err on the side of, hey, if I'm not sure this is going to work, I can't probably send it off with my name on it
right.
or that certified thing. All right. Well, gosh. Anything else about just the basic training? We'll talk as we're hopefully doing the demonstration. But anything else we should know, just kind of as a foundation before we kind of let the dogs do? We should let the audience know that while we were getting the show started, Jack hid five
mold samples.
Yeah, five mold samples around the sort of outer part of the studio. We're talking in the on-air studio at the moment, but we'll have a microphone in the kind of outer area. So we're going to meet the dogs then, and I will sort of try to describe what they're doing, and we'll kind of keep chatting and finding out more about this whole area of canine mold inspections. But let me also let you know, too, that on their website to find out more about these kind of inspections, and also we should note that you do other home inspections that don't necessarily involve dogs, although, to me, why would you do that kind if you could have these cute guys come over and help you out, too? But anyways, it's jlcinspections.com. It's, again, Jack and Celeste Clausen. It's Hershey and Trace, and it's Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI. If you have any questions, we'll sort of be darting in and out if you do happen to call. So, you know, be patient if you do, because once I step out of the studio, I may not necessarily know that the phone's ringing. But we'd love to have you call with any questions for Jack or Celeste. And meanwhile, I guess let's meet the dogs. And I guess first let's just maybe hear just a little bit about, you've already alluded to this a little bit, and so have I, about where they came from. Because they are both rescue dogs, but it sounds like one was rescued or came from a rescue organization in Florida. And the other, if I'm not mistaken, comes from a rescue organization in Southern California.
Southern California,
right?
Labrador
yeah.
Retriever Rescue.
And so how does that, I mean, is that, is it Bill's view that rescue dogs and specifically kind of are just all the more apt to be particularly good mold detection or inspection dogs, or that's just kind of coincidental? Or
I, you know, I'm not sure exactly why he does that. I know he's got a big heart, and that's, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
If a dog's going to work from a shelter, why not, you know,
yeah.
get a shelter dog, then get, you know.
Yeah.
He goes through. There are dogs that do actually wash out of the program.
I'll bet.
But
yeah.
he's been doing this long enough that he can take a look at a dog and see, you know, he's got the right energy level. He's got the right drive. He knows typically what kind of dogs make better mold dogs than others.
Sure.
It takes a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And that was where our advantage was when we went to actually say, okay, let's add a mold dog. We're
yeah.
going to go after some other business.
Uh-huh.
And we knew what we were looking for in our second mold dog. And that's where Trace came into place. And I'll let, you know, my wife Celeste kind of explain, because she really was, you know, the point person on going through California Lab Rescue and kind of finding Trace. So I'll let her kind of explain
cool.
that.
It's a wonderful organization, and they, you have to qualify to be an adoptive
family. Fill out paperwork and
well,
stuff.
And
yeah.
they do a home visit. They
yeah.
come and they check
Good.
Out
Sounds
where you live.
Sounds just like an adopt-a-human yes. Baby, yeah,
yes.
which we certainly
they
know.
They have to
yeah.
meet the other dogs or cats or whoever in
yeah.
the family and, you know, and kind of see their personality. And I worked with Chris down here in Mission Viejo and Jennifer, who I think is up in L.A., and they have placed other animals for law enforcement. And so they know the kind of drive that they need, that we were looking for. So anytime a dog would come up, they give me a call. They'd say, go to the website, check the dog out, and then you go meet the dog.
Hmm.
And when Trace became available, he was actually being fostered by a gentleman named Andy up in
Torrance.
Mm-hmm. And we went up and met him. And actually, it's really important to make sure that Hershey was going to get along with this
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, I think foremost,
absolutely,
really. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, we met Trace, and they seemed to get along well, and we went home and talked to Bill, told Bill about him. He said, sounds good. We brought Trace home, and to be quite honest, the first couple of days was pretty rough. He was a very willful dog.
Oh, yeah.
High energy level.
Yeah.
He had no obedience training. In fact, he was, when he was first rescued, was just a stray on the streets in L.A.
Oh, wow.
And so he needed a lot of work, but he had a lot of drive and a lot of heart. So we had him in the home for about 9 days, you know, to make sure that he was going to get along well
work.
With our other
yeah,
animals. And,
sure.
you know, and there wasn't going to be any problems. And then we put him on a plane back to Florida. But Lab Rescue was great. We spent months really looking for Trace and finding the right dog. And in fact, Andy, just the foster parent, just called us not too long ago to see how he's doing.
Neat.
Because
cool.
he did say, if I didn't have three already, I'd have kept this one.
Wow.
So.
And our labs particularly adept at mold inspection work? I mean, or maybe it's just coincidental. You both have, I mean, both your dogs here are labs. Is that typical of the mold inspection world, or are there other breeds that are also pretty good at this as well?
There are a lot of breeds that are real good at it. The labs are good at it because they do have a high energy level.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually several Jack Russell Terriers out there.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Jack
that makes
Russells,
sense.
Yeah, Jack Russells have got two speeds.
They never rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's full out or dead or completely dead, you know.
Yeah.
So there are some beagles out there. A lot of beagles for termite dogs.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, so, okay, so then even within the kind of various dogs that have jobs, so to speak, certain breeds, maybe, like, if beagle sounds like maybe a little more adept for termites or just maybe than others, but it's just
a high drive.
Yeah, it's a
yeah.
high drive. You
okay,
have to
so
have
that's
a high
the
drive.
Key thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
then,
a working type dog.
Yeah.
You know, labs are hunters, so.
Sure, yeah, that's.
And we're just partial to them.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, again, I have guys that look like this that are also whizzes and hot shots is, like, pretty impressive, yeah. Cool.
Well, they've also got to, you know, kind of mold into your family, and we're kind of water people ourselves, so, and so are they, obviously.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So they love to go swimming, and we have places that we go that, you know, there's water there. So they,
sure.
you know, it blends into the family.
And we talked about a little bit this before we got on the air, but maybe you could just kind of run through at least briefly, while it was important, obviously, to those first 8-9 days, even before that, to, you know, the adoption to go through to make sure both dogs would get along well. It sounds like there are really differences in the personalities of the two dogs. Maybe you could kind of just describe a little bit about those.
Absolutely. I mean, whenever you get a rescued dog, you really never know what their background is. Hershey was rescued back in Florida. That's where Bill got him. We suspect that he was originally bred back in Florida to be a bird dog.
Mm.
He's very slim, you know, and trim and
yeah.
very quick and a heck of a good swimmer. But I think that maybe he washed out of that program because he couldn't take the loud noises of the shotguns. He's noise sensitive.
Uh-huh.
There are some hums and such that
certain
bother him.
Certain frequencies probably.
Yeah, certain
yeah.
frequencies
uh-huh.
that bother him.
Yeah.
Where Trace, on the other hand, I'm not so sure that I couldn't train this dog to climb up a telephone pole with firecrackers going off at his side and it would bother him. So
yeah.
he's absolutely the other side of that.
Yeah.
Hershey is very, very direct with his detection, where his nose is right in the walls and the baseboards. And Trace, his nose is so good that it doesn't need to be, and he can smell the stuff a lot farther off and alerts a lot farther off and then drags his body over to it. So it's.
And do both both dogs go on most jobs because of those sort of complementary abilities and tendencies?
Absolutely. I mean, I couldn't have even planned it better than this.
Yeah.
You know, I always run Trace now through a house first and kind of let him alert to particular areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bring Hershey back through and let him just absolutely zero in on exactly where it's at.
Wow.
So it's
That's
it's
cool.
It's kind of fun.
And we'll get into more of this as we do our little demo in a sec here. But just for people who may not be familiar, when you say alert, what does that mean and how does that how do the dogs actually evidence that?
Well, in these particular, I'm sorry, with these particular dogs, there are some commands that are actually changed with these dogs. There is no sit command with these dogs. We use park it. And they do that because part of their training is seek. It's seek for the mold. So they're going along with me like you might. If you were at the airport and you'd see a handler there going through your luggage,
yeah,
all right,
yeah,
and hopefully you haven't got that marijuana, that cocaine
right,
in your
right.
luggage because they're going to find it,
right? Okay? Yeah,
but they're saying probably something very similar, you know, seek,
right, or search,
or search, or
yeah,
whatever it might
yeah.
be, and it's too close to the word sit.
So
we change it to park it, and after they actually alert to mold, they're alert. Traces has always been he lays down. I mean, he just basically throws his body to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Hershey
near the location of what?
Near the
yeah.
location.
Okay.
After they alert, I use the command of show me, and they'll point to it with their nose. And you'll see that when we
yeah.
go out to the demonstration.
Cool. Yeah.
Trace likes to jump up and down and bump me in the nose and then go back down and crawl over to it. Hershey's a lot more mellow, and he will actually sit and sometimes lay down, depending upon how excited he gets. And sometimes he'll claw at things, and then he'll point directly to it. His pointing is very, very direct.
Wow, cool. cool. All right. Well, I say, and I guess one other quick question before we get started, and maybe this will come up too during a demonstration, but do they differentiate in terms of their alerts between different types of molds? In other words, is it all what you just described, no matter what kind of mold, that's what happens? Or are there certain kind of molds that would elicit even a slightly different kind of alert? Or they're just saying there's mold here of the wrong kind, here's where it is, not necessarily, you know.
That's absolutely true. They've been trained on 18 families of molds, and understand a family could be many, many different species of a particular type of mold.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so those are the ones that they've been trained on. They're not going to alert to anything other than that.
Right, right. But they're not going to alert differently from one to another of those 18.
All
you'll know is that there's a problem here. What kind of mold it is, that's later to be determined, I guess, or analyzed when you get to the mold itself.
Right. Absolutely. Now, that would be a great trick, though, if you get them, you know, scratch once for
right,
for
yeah. This is highly toxic.
Yeah.
This is, Well, that's maybe the more advanced courses that Bill will work on. But anyways, cool. All right. Well, I say let's get a look at them in action. And, of course, when I say look for our listeners, I will be trying to describe what's happening, and we'll continue our chat with Jack and Celeste Claussen. And, again, it's JLC, inspections.com to find out more about these and just basic home inspections that they do. And they're, again, Orange County based, so obviously so are these beautiful dogs you're about to see in action. So let's do it. Let's see these guys do their thing. And this is Talking Animals on KUCI, and there might be a moment or two where we switch mics, but we're here, we're on the air, and we're not going anywhere. Okay. We got Trace. Jack's with Trace. That's the beautiful black lab. And Celeste has Hershey, the beautiful chocolate lab. So we're in a... Mike, what would you say the size of this room is? You probably did this all day long. Yeah. Okay, so it's a 2020 room, and there's five different locations where you have stashed mold samples. So, we'll sort of...
ready to go to work? Good work.
All right, so I should say that Trace in particular is very eager, moving around. Great. So we'll say that the Trace, that we have a kind of a cool little dryer that we take for remote disc jockey and on location things, and so it's been converted into like a turntable CD thing, and so he's found. Yeah, Trace has found his first mold there. So he's seeking. Wow, okay, so he's found another one in the area where this microphone that I'm speaking into is sort of, there's a little kind of trap door thing where it's plugged into the floor, and he's located sample number two, and getting a nice reward, as well he should, and... Good. 3 for 3. Okay, so I should point out that now in a metal file cabinet, I guess in one of the drawers, he's found the third sample of mold. And so that's really, he's rolling right along. And Hershey's sort of, waiting to do the same. Yeah. Right, exactly, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, also just her, you know, to note that Serena, who was just on the air before us, went out the door, and that kind of spooked Hershey a little bit. But he's definitely zeroed right in. Yeah, yeah. So it's just a more understated kind of form, really, of the same sort of work. She's found number two. Again, it's really interesting because there's just two different styles, but they're still, yeah, but they're both, of course, doing it with complete accuracy. And yeah, but it was kind of, is it distracting, in other words? Yeah. Yeah, number three, very good. And what happens, just because we're starting to run out of time here, just a couple other questions, I just want to ask a couple more questions because, now what happens when they're off the clock? Okay, cool, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, because that's still how they're fed. So I think it was even a note you sent to me that the only real difference about them when they are off the clock versus any other cool labs that you might run into is the food is still tied to the mold even on their off days, just so that's consistent from day to day. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. And I think you alluded to, is there another dog that's not in the business at home? Yeah. And what kind of dog is that? Oh, okay. Yeah, I see. Well, that's a nice range, yeah. Okay, but he just kind of hangs out and, yeah. Yeah, okay, cool. And is there any perceptible difference between, in the relationship of the three, if two of them are mole dogs and trained that way, and the other guy, when they're hanging out, is it all just the same? You wouldn't know. Yeah, okay, cool. Interesting, yeah. 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 Oh, wow. Cool. Cool. Yay! All right, Hershey found number five. It's a clean sweep, folks. Both dogs found all five samples and did it with differing styles, but beautiful aplomb. So, awesome. Well, this is great. Well, I want to thank you guys. I'm going to jump back in the studio for one last quick second and play our Name That Animal tune and wrap up the show. But this is really great to meet you guys, to meet Hershey and Trace, and to learn a lot more about a really kind of cool subworld of home inspection. And again, it's jlcinspections.com. It's Jack and Celeste Clawson. It's Hershey and Trace. And thank you very much. It was really cool to have you guys in studio and show us how it all works. And we all learned something here. So cool. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to jump right back. Okay, so that was pretty cool. So it is time for Name That Animal Tune. I think you know how that works. It's just like any other version of Name That Tune, except that in this case, the tunes are animal-related. So if you can name this animal tune, 949-824-5824, same prizes that we talked about earlier. Yours for the choosing. Can you name this animal, Tim?
Hey, hey, I belong gone. Then I
wouldn't be told. All right. Well, if you can name that animal tune, you can certainly call in. Meanwhile, just want to quickly wrap up the show here. I'm Duncan Strauss. It's Talking Animals, 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. And I want to again thank our guests, Hershey, Trey, Celeste, and Jack Clausen. The company, one more time, is JLC Home Inspections, and the website is www.jlcinspections.com. Hope you'll join us next Monday, August 22nd, when we hope our guest will be Dr. Mary Sebsta, local veterinarian extraordinaire who works at Newport Harbor Animal Hospital and is the only guest who's been on Talking Animals more than once. This will be her third time, no less. So we'll talk about a handful of pet-related issues and take your questions about maybe the animals you have at home with you. So we're going to skip over just about everything else and say that hope you'll check out the you'll check out our website, talkinganimals.net, and stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease. Coming right up here on KUCI. This is Duncan Strauss. It's 88.9 FM. It's KUCI in Irvine. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And as always, we're going to close things out here with an animal-related tune. Yet another final nod to Hershey and Trace. This is the Laurel Canyon Radio Company with a song called Talking to the Dogs on KUCI in Irvine. We'll catch you next week on Talking Animals.
Strange, I was telling my friend as we walked up the hill. What's that, he said. It's about the dogs. The dogs. Yeah, the dogs, you know, in the canyon. I never thought about it until you asked me about my neighbor. When it came to me, I know the names of my neighbor's dogs better than I know the names of my neighbors. When someone asks me who that person down the street is, I don't say that's Manny. I say that's Lola's owner. If I think about it, everyone up here knows everyone else by their dog's names. If you meet someone walking their dog, the first thing both of you do is introduce your dogs. Seems reasonable to me, my friend said. I like my animals better than most of my friends. I mean, really, I said. Every morning I walk my dog Daphne around the hill. Every morning I meet this guy walking his dog Lucy. Every morning I say, "Why, hello, Lucy." And he says, "Hello, Daphne." Then we talk for a while. I say, "Goodbye, Lucy." He says, "Goodbye, Daphne." I don't remember his name. He doesn't remember my name. We know our dog's names 3 generations back. I mean, this happens all the time. It's not just Lucy. It's Neutra and Sea Dog and Sheldon and Wilson and Annie and Rosie and Easy and Bugshot and the twins. And I was really getting into the metaphysical possibilities of calling people by their dog's names when a car horn brought me back to Earth. My mostly miniature Schnauzer Webster brought my epiphany to an abrupt end by choosing the middle of Yucca Trail as a comfortable place to make his morning deposit, directly in front of a Jeep Cherokee. I collected Webster and the little speed bump he left in the middle of the road and waved the Jeep on. Good thing Webster pooped when he did, my friend said. You were starting to lose it with that dog name thing. I said, you know, you're right. I'm never going to call anybody by their dog's name again. I mean, it's not right. We watched the Cherokee turn around and slowly come back towards us. She's lost, I could tell. Sure enough, the Jeep rolled to a stop. The driver leaned over and asked me if I knew where an address on my street was. I didn't have a clue. I thought she was going to cry. She was so depressed. I mean, I felt sorry for her. Sometimes up here, you never find the address. Then I had an idea. I asked her, any chance of these people have a dog? She said that they did. I asked her if she knew its name. She told me it was a bandit. I said, it's the fourth house on the left, parked right behind the black Camaro in front of the no parking sign. They won't be home until 4. I turned to say something to my friend, but he was already headed down the hill, shaking his head and talking to the dogs.